I want to start at verse number 8 in Romans chapter 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. Everybody say, the word of faith, is near. Okay, and here really is an explanation. I'm, you know, not starting at the beginning of the chapter, save some time, but the next verse sort of explains what I just read. The word is nigh thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That's where this word is. And that is, it's the word of faith which we preach. And this all has to do with faith. That's what I'm going to read in this next verse, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that is something that is very wonderful, to know that if you believe the word of God, and if you confess the word of God, if it's coming from your heart, you've got what it takes through faith to be saved. Amen. You may be seated if you're not already, all right? Amen. There are some people who stop short of what the rest of the Bible continues to teach concerning faith and salvation. We don't really have a right to interpret the Word of God. We have a simple Word of God delivered to us, and God wants us to be able to look at it with a clear mind and without anything in our mind saying it has to believe the way I see it in order for me to accept it. But with our hearts truly wanting to serve God, and one of the best confessions we can make is, I really don't know everything I need to know, and I could be wrong sometimes. Everybody look at somebody next to you and say, I could be wrong sometimes. That's probably the first time some of you have ever said that in your life. I could be wrong sometimes. Because most of us, if we get a little bit at odds with anybody, we're right and they're wrong no matter what it's about. You know what I mean? But if you can remember, you could be wrong, especially when it comes to the Word of God. We could be wrong sometimes. But God is always right. His Word is always true. If we debate and argue about it, or we get ourselves in a frame of mind that says, I'm not too sure I want to believe this, whatever it may be, we can find ourselves with a wall between God and where you are. Because when we try to mix darkness with light, it won't mix. When we try to mix doubt with belief, there's no mixture there. We can't be feeling defeated and feeling the victory at the same time. We can't know the truth and a lie, it being the same information. The truth and what's not the truth cannot be the same, ever. I know this is really deep, but it's either it is right or it's not right. It is God or it's not God. Salvation is salvation or it's not salvation. There's no in-between. We cannot look at the Word of God and say, well, I don't like the extreme positive and I don't like the extreme negative. I want something in between that suits me. It's not there. The extreme positive is we're serving God, and the extreme negative is we're not serving God. But there's nothing in between. So whether we consider that to be extreme or not so extreme, it's still the same. It's we're serving God or we're not serving God. Now, in serving God, sometimes some people go more to an extreme in their effort to follow after God. Some people are just different to other people. Our makeup is different. Sometimes we have some who get more excited about things. Some jump up and down while others clap their hands. Some just smile while others sit there and you wonder what's on their mind, but they're just as happy as one jumping up and down. Others, when disappointment comes, people react in different ways. Some, I saw a lady have a bad car wreck, and she was hurt and bleeding all over, and everybody around her. We were out there, we lived next to the highway when this happened. And we were out there next to this all banged up cars and these bleeding people, and she was laughing. She was reacting to her car wreck, miserable mess on the highway, and people hurt, but she was just laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And I wondered what that was all about. What's so funny about this? But it wasn't that it was funny. It was her way of reacting to calamity. That was just her way. And when something bad happens to me, I don't usually laugh like that. I've been known to cry. But, you know, and then other people, some are just tough. You know, no matter what it is, they just take it in stride. You know, just, you know, like John Wayne. Just, or Gene Autry. I go way back, you know. You're going to go out and arrest somebody, and somebody's been, you know, robbing banks and doing all kinds of terrible things and shooting people. And he said, I'm going to go get that guy right now. Put his guns on. He said, but first let me sing a song. Just kind of take it easy, you know. Some of us are more exuberant when it comes to worshiping God. That doesn't mean that you know God better than somebody that's not. We are known as Pentecostal people. Some call us apostolic. I really don't care what you call us. We used to have the name on the front in another location, First Apostolic Church. But there was a lot of folks who put us in some kind of a box with some other name or some other group that had a similar name. And, you know, really, all we want is somebody that wants God, and in your way, however God has made you to be, find this faith that I'm reading about here. Find this way to get from your heart something that comes through your mouth, confessing and believing completely that what we're preaching is true, that Jesus Christ really was crucified, that He really rose from the dead and is alive right now. And if that makes you happy, you might want to say hallelujah. And if that makes you happy, you might want to just clap your hands a little bit. Or if that makes you happy in a formal church that does not do those things, it might make you just smile and be polite, but you're feeling it. But sometimes it's good to at least visit a Pentecostal church. I'm not saying that because some churches are quiet, they're wrong. I'm not saying if they use a program, they're necessarily wrong. I'm not saying if they've got a nicer building than we've got, that makes them wrong. I'm not saying if they don't use cameras and wires all over the dirty carpet that they're all wrong. Some of them have some beautiful buildings, and they're really nice people. But I want to tell you, as for me, I'm kind of an exuberant, excited type person. And I don't care how much truth they have, and I do care, but I mean, if they have a lot of truth, and it is the truth, and if they have a system or a tradition that if when you go to church, you don't squirm, you don't lift your hands, you don't clap your hands, you don't say praise the Lord, you don't say hallelujah, you sit there and just be quiet. I can only take it so long. I'm telling you, if you gave me $1 million and told me not to react, I would have to leave the building. I got to go somewhere and go, whoopee! I don't want to have to hold it in. I don't want to have to go in the closet somewhere and go, no, hey, I'd love to be able to get with people like this and say, whoop, we're free. We've been set free. And the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This is not communist church. This is liberty, freedom church. And so we can come here, and if you're one who is a little bit reserved and you don't want to wave your hands and you don't want to say hallelujah and you don't want to jump up and down and roll on the floor and be called a holy roller, which we don't see much of that. If you do it around here, you'll get all tangled up in wires and may hang yourself. But if you're not into all of that, it's the truth that sets us free. It's not the shouting that sets us free. It's not the dancing that sets us free. It's not the waving of the hands that sets us free. But if you're a person who reacts in that way and you know the truth and you realize you've been set free, it's in order to say, hallelujah. It's in order to clap your hands like a little child at a birthday party that gets everything that child wanted, been longing for it all his life at the age of 4. Wants that stuff and gets that stuff and he jumps and he shouts and he claps his hands. Mommy got it for me. Wouldn't it be terrible to be born in a family where they say you cannot react if you get a present? This is a program. You have received every little toy you ever desired. Now be quiet. This is your birthday party and Uncle John gave you $100 bill. Don't say anything. Don't react. You've always wanted to go to Disneyland. We're taking you to Disneyland this afternoon. Now, don't say anything. Don't get happy. Now, I don't want to live like that. You know, I'm 65 years old. I'm still a kid at heart. And somebody gives me something special, like if it's a new car. A few years ago, a person gave me a brand new car. Took me down here to Sullivan's car lot in New London. I didn't know what we were doing. This was a senior citizen and wanted to do something nice before the pastor of the church that this person attended and said, take me to that car lot. I've got something I want to look at. I went over there. It was Sister Isabel. She said, take me to that car lot. I got something I want to look at. And we got in this little cart, rode around with a salesman. I didn't know, but I was starting to wonder, I wonder if she's going to get me a car. I don't know. I hadn't known her long. I just baptized her a few days before that. And we were just riding around. She said, you see anything you like out here? I said, I like them all. She said, see what one you like best. And so that cart went around, and I found this nice Buick that's sitting right out there behind the church right now. Now, this is back in 1996, I believe, the last part of 96. But it was beautiful then. Nobody had ever eaten in it. Nobody had ever slept in it. Nobody had left all their trash in it. And it didn't need a wash job, didn't need a wax. It was brand new. I said, I like that car. Isn't that nice? She said, that's all I needed to know. And so she said, well, I'm tired of riding. Let's go back. So she told the salesman, let's go back. So we went back to the office. And she said, let's go in and talk a little bit. And she walked in with me. As most of you know, Sister Isabel held onto my arm just about every time we'd go anywhere because she was dizzy, and she would fall if I'd turn loose of her. Many times I had to run and catch her just before she hit the ground. But so anyway, she was holding onto my arm, and as she held onto my arm, she looked up to this salesman, and she said, how much is it? And he said, $34,000. And she said, I'll give you $28,000 right now, and if you don't take it, we're leaving, and we're never coming back. And I'm going to tell you, I felt like I was in Catholic Mass because I wanted to jump, I wanted to shout, but I was having to hold it in. I'm not criticizing the Catholic, I just know you don't act Pentecostal when you're in the middle of Mass. Because when she said, I'll give you $28,000 right now, and he said, you might have just bought it, my heart would... My hands were down, but they wanted to clap. My feet were stuck to the ground, but they wanted to jump. And when he came out and said, the boss says, sold. And she took that wad of money out of her purse and counted those $100 bills. I wanted to run the aisles. What a blessing. And then she said, put it in his name. And I had a brand new car. Praise God. That was a blessing. Let me tell you something. If you can believe with your heart and confess with your mouth while faith is near where you are right now, especially with the measure of faith that's been delivered unto you by God, as Brother Mike spoke about, and the faith surrounding you that's causing some of us to say hallelujah, others to clap their hands. We've got a reason for all this because we're happy. We're happy. Amen. And if while you're in this atmosphere, that faith that's in your heart and in your mouth, that's something that's making you want to react. There's going to come a moment in just a little while, just about 5 minutes from now, but I'm going to stop talking and give us all a chance to just be free. If you want to be free and fold your hands, that's fine with you. But I'm going to tell you, as soon as I left that car lot and I got behind a tree somewhere, I did more than fold my hands. I couldn't wait to show the thing to somebody. They say, how'd you get that? I said, well, I got my ways. Because just a week before, we'd been, you know, needed about $2,000 in order to have a penny in our little church. We were so broke. But we were trying to make it and just skimming by the best we can. And then I bought that new car. And they say, how did you get it? I said, we got our ways. You know what our way is? It's the way of faith. After years of struggling, and not just talking about me, but most of us that entered into this church, broke, money-wise. The majority of the people sitting here, when I met you, you were either a homeless person, a drunk, a drug addict, a loser. There was no way anybody should desire to have you even come and visit. And when I tried to maintain a house, about 7 of you moved in with me because you had no place to stay. Unemployed, wanting to serve God, homeless people, suddenly becoming aware there is a God. I mean, I came here the first day I arrived in New England from Arkansas, 26 years ago. I had $1 when I arrived. $1. I had parents in Arkansas who said, you don't need to travel all the time. You got plenty of things here. You got things you can do here. Why do you want to waste your money? You know you're going to get out there and you're going to run out of money. You're going to call home. We're going to have to send you hundreds of dollars just to keep you going. But I said, but Dad, it's God. He said, you don't think God could bless you here? He said, it'd be a whole lot less expensive for me if he would. And that's why when I got in trouble up here and arrived in New England with no gas left in my tank, no money except $1 bill, 2 teenage daughters, their mother had run off with a high school band director a couple of years before and left me with the daughters and left me as a single parent all of a sudden, something I didn't expect to happen. I didn't know that was going to happen. But it happened. And the old enemy kept saying, your ministry's finished. What you're going to do, you might as well just plan a different direction. You can't preach anymore. You can't sing about Jesus anymore. You're ruined. And I got on my knees and I talked to Jesus because I do believe with my heart that he's real and that he did come to this earth and he did die. I believe it in my heart. I got on my face and I talked to Jesus and I confessed with my mouth, he is alive and he's here to bless me now. And then I found that faith arising and getting better and better. And I said, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, be what you want me to be, do what you want me to do. And I found myself sitting over here at Friendly's in Norwich Town on a bar stool with less than a dollar because we'd have made a phone call and now only had a little bit of sense left. My daughters wanted hairspray. I didn't have the money to buy hairspray. My van was on the side of the road with no gas in it. I had been scratching through the carpet trying to find some change. No change there. And we were sitting at Friendly's when the waitress said, may I help you? And I ordered a glass of water. Melody asked for a Coke, and I said, take water. Michelle wanted something. I said, we're going to get water. Water's all we can afford right now, so we got water. But God sees your heart, and he knows your need. And this is just one example of many examples. I could have most of you come up here, and you could talk about how God has taken you from nothingness and not only physically supplied your need, but once you got from darkness into light, suddenly you feel like you're a child of the King. And everything that's available in the kingdom is within your reach. You can grab it right now. It all belongs to you. The inheritance that's prepared for you, you can live on it today. Hallelujah. And so, I was sitting there on that counter and some things happened. I've told the story, but I want to end this thing shortly. So, anyway, it ended up with, before the day was over, after a few little things that happened, a few conversations, that the manager of the restaurant, without me saying that we had a need, told us to eat anything on the menu. And it's on the house. Now, that happened in New England at Friendly's Restaurant 26 years ago, and I've never seen it happen at Friendly's Restaurant since. I mean, usually you go in there and you pay through the nose and you wait 2 hours before they... Oh, I want to talk about it. But anyway, that day, that first day in New England at Friendly's Restaurant, they fed me and my daughters free of charge. Not only that, but the waitress that waited on me a few days later went into the waters of baptism and was baptized in the name of Jesus. And not only that, the manager of the restaurant came with us to the water, and we baptized him in the name of Jesus. And God filled him and the waitress with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they gave their hearts to God. Not because of money or a lack of money, but because of obedience and a believing in the heart that this Jesus that died and is alive now is real and he's available. Hallelujah. Oh, we could go into many avenues of things that have happened. But you take this scripture. This is not a salvation scripture in itself. Many people preach that it is, and they just say, if you can confess with your mouth, you know, say the sinner's prayer, believe in your heart and do that, you're saved. The Bible gets into a little more detail than this. It doesn't just say you're saved at that point, but if you can receive it, you are saved by faith. But faith is something that has to be continued onward. It's faith unto something yet to happen. I could have stood all day in that car lot and said, I believe she's going to buy me a car. And I could have not taken that cart and gone out there and looked at those cars. And when she said, take me to the car lot, I could have said, whatever it is you want to do, could we just do it here at the house? Because I believe your intentions are good, whatever it is you want to do, whatever you want. I could have said somewhere between her house and the car lot, I don't know where you're taking me, so let's just stop right here, turn around, and go back. But I believe where it was going to be good. I wouldn't be driving that car out there. Let me tell you something. If you believe that salvation is what it takes to go to heaven, believe with your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is real, and know that faith does operate and it does work. But don't stop short of taking the trip and doing what's necessary to get you there. Amen. Praise Him. And you'll notice the church of Rome that we were reading this letter that was addressed to that church at Rome and to all the saints of God everywhere, these people had already been to the water. They had already been baptized in Jesus' name. They had already received the same experience that we read about in Acts, the second chapter, and the Holy Ghost. They had already experienced all of that. And they were being instructed as a group of church people what's necessary when you have a need of whatever it is, whether it be you're in trouble, or maybe you're just not where you should be with God, or maybe you've walked with God and you've failed God. While faith is near, and while you've got the ability to express your faith from your heart, if you can believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. So I believe with my heart, and I confess with my mouth. And this was 26 years ago, that years from now, we're going to have a church in Norwich, Connecticut, and we're going to use lights and cameras. I was confessing that back then when I had 75 cents. We're going to be spending hundreds of thousands of dollars along the way. We haven't finished the trip yet. I didn't know where it was going to come from then. I don't know where it's going to come from now, but I have twice as much money as I came here with. Right now, I have $2 in my pocket, and God has never failed me. Let's all stand. And right now, if you came to this church today from darkness or even maybe something that's changing into light, if you can believe this God we preach is real, don't stop at just believing. Don't stop at just confessing. If you want to say a sinner's prayer, remember, you're the sinner. And the prayer is not something that we're going to write out for you and have you repeat after us. We're not criticizing those that do it that way. But there's nothing better than a sincere prayer coming from a sincere heart, saying whatever you feel to say. God is a friend. He wants you to talk to Him as yourself. And so if the way you talk to your friend is say, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I just don't feel right. I don't think life's treating me all that well. You just come as you are. Talk to Him like you talk to a buddy. Praise God. People talk to their buddies on the bar still better than they pray. Just change friends. You've been sitting on the bar still talking to your buddies and you just pour your heart out. Do the same thing with Jesus, except maybe leave the booze out of it. Come to Him and say, God, I don't know what's going on. I just don't feel right. I know something's missing. I don't understand it all. There's so many words in that book. Who can know all that? All I know is that preacher said, if I can believe you're real, that you can save me. And I'm confessing, if anybody needs it, I need it now. So I'm believing you. And when you do that, you take that first step toward salvation. That first step should be your way, on your way, to full, complete salvation. And you're going to find out. The book that comes before Romans, Acts, gives you instructions of what they did and what we must do to complete this journey. And even in completing the journey, no matter what we do that's instructed, we have to endure until the end, because the same book says those that shall be saved are the ones who endure until the end. So you're going to go through some things, but you're going to be a winner. Amen. Don't forget to read Acts 2:38. The answer to the question is there. What shall we do? What shall we do? Acts 2:38 gives you the answer. If you got faith, you should be able to accept this answer. Repent. That's turn away from your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, every one of you. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, known as the Holy Ghost. Amen. Raise your hands and praise. Hallelujah. Amen. So we don't have a program for you to follow, but we got a real God for you to serve. And He's your God. Nobody here is holier than anybody else. Nobody's better than anybody else. But if you want more of God in your life, no matter if you've been going to this church all your life, you're just here for the first time, we want to invite everybody that will just to come up and assemble and stand together. And we're just all going to pray. No program, no repeat after me, no Hail Marys, no 10,000 Our Father. We're just going to pray. We're just going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother Joe, come up here and take over. Lead us in prayer. And if you're standing in this audience tonight and you need something from God, this is the time to get it. In your own way, if He blesses you, be happy. If He changes you, let it happen and enjoy your blessings.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Bow your head and talk to the Lord. Just opening your heart up. Like He said, open your heart. Jesus, Lord, we come boldly before You today, God, with confidence. Confidence, Lord, knowing that, Jesus, You are the way maker. You are the answer that we need in this time in our life. God, when we're confused and we don't know what to do, which direction we're going to take, that, God, You become that answer. You show us what to do. You show us, hallelujah, Lord, how to get our soul established, how to get some questions answered, Lord, and a peace within. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless these people today, Lord. Bless as they pray and they call on Your name. And let them experience, Lord, the Spirit of the Lord and Your liberty, Jesus. That it's all right to talk to Jesus. It's all right to call on His name. It's all right to be bold with God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It's faith that says we can be bold with God. We can tell Him all about it. He'll hear. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I'm thankful that I don't have to hold it inside. God, I don't have to hide myself behind a fig leaf. I can just let You know, here I am. Thank You, Jesus. You know already. Hallelujah. Bless, Lord. Bring to understanding in this place. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. That soul that's turned into You right now, bring them forward. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You for filling everyone in this place with Your Spirit. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. God, we thank You for the Word today. To let us know we can have faith and we can believe and we can start confessing and reaching, Lord, from the heart. Thank You, Lord. And take this gospel serious. Thank You, Jesus. God, I pray for every young person in this place. God, with so many pushes and pulls in life and so many things, Lord, to take their interest away from the truth. God, we pray for them that, Lord, somehow the Spirit of God, they'll allow the Spirit of God to get hold of them right now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And that, God, a soberness would come over their mind and their thoughts for this hour. Focus on Jesus. Keep them, Lord, from the evil one that wants to rape their soul and destroy them. Thank You, Jesus. Smarten up, Lord, every parent in this place. Teach them how to be parents. Teach them how to be patient, long-suffering, and wise. Hallelujah. To seek after God. To not sacrifice their kids to the world. Hallelujah. Give them strength when they don't know what to do. When they don't know how to handle the emotional issues. God, give them the wisdom at that hour to know what to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we want to see some of these young people converted unto You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.
I've had problems, but none to compare with the problems at the cross. I've had some pain, but oh, what pain Jesus suffered for. Before God made earth, He provided for you and me.
Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.
From the foundation,
hallelujah,
of all creation,
hallelujah,
God saw Calvary.
Glory, glory, glory.
In the beginning, of Calvary.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory.